Welcome back, college basketball fans, to Hoops HD. This is continuing preseason coverage. Tonight we have the Pac-12 preview that we're doing. Recording this here on the evening of October 22nd, just for sake in case anything changes after we record this. But I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Stalica over there. From Bracketeer.org, we have Rocco Miller.
Rocco!
Yo. John Titel, David Griggs down there. Did I get everybody? How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing fantastic, Chad.
All right.
I mean, right. So good. Actually, no, I mean, today is the last day. Do you realize, like, we had exhibition games starting last Thursday. There was no game Saturday. There's no game tonight. We have at least one college basketball game every day between now and the end in the day after Selection Sunday, with the exception of Christmas Eve, which – again, goes to it begs the question, why bother with Christmas?
Okay, David has just got rid of Christmas, but let's actually turn to the conference. We'll discuss it. We've got two Pac-12 guys here on the podcast. Actually, Rocco, you're a Washington guy, Titel from Arizona. And, well, Titel, let me start with you, because when we did our ACC show, I started with our colleague Joby and discussed what happened last year. So let me ask you, have you recovered from what happened to Arizona last year in that Buffalo game?
As bad as a season that the Cats had off the court, on the court was almost as painful. Buffalo took it to us. I went out to a bar with some fellow alumni and was horrified by our performance. It was not even close in the second half. And to my chagrin, I turned today to the AP rankings, preseason rankings, and they had the nerve to have, in the others receiving votes category, Arizona 14, Buffalo 14. Just to stick it to me one last time.
Well, Rocco, last season for the Pac-12 as a whole, Arizona was the only team not to actually make it into the round of 64. Two other teams in the tournament, Arizona State and UCLA, both of the first four, both lose, only three bids. Was this just as bad of a season as we've ever seen from a power conference last year?
It may have been in the way that we term power conferences these days. It was pretty bad, and that was after a 1-8 bowl season when 9 bowl teams made it through. And fortunately, Utah football was the only team to get a win between both postseasons, and I believe that was in the heart of Dallas Bowl. So I don't think it was a year anybody was proud of. I think the Pac-12 last year went through a lot. We'll get into that as the show goes on with the a lot of teams involved, a few of the teams at least involved with the FBI investigation and some different issues across the league. So let's hope for a better year this year.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with all the FBI stuff, I guess, at some point here. But
right.
Let's actually turn to this season. And Titel, let me start with you. Let me go back to you, actually. Who is your pick to win the Pac-12 this season, especially in light of what's happened at your school?
I don't know that there's a clear-cut favorite for a couple of reasons. One, there was so much talent, not that the talent helped them make any noise in the tourney, that went out the door last year to the draft. Three, I believe, first-round picks from the 12 schools combined. That being said, if I have to pick a team, I think I'm going to go with the Ducks. Again, not a strong thing where they're head and shoulders above everybody else, but between some nice transfer players like Ahab Amin, some nice veterans in Paul White and Peyton Pritchard, and a pair of McDonald's All-Americans in Lewis King and Bull Bull, son of Manute Bull, I think Dane Altman has a real chance to take the crown this year.
Stalica, let me bring you in on this. How about this Oregon team? Do you think that this is the best team in the Pac-12 heading into this year? You look at a team that did lose three double-digit scores off of last year's team that did not make the NCAA tournament.
There's going to be a lot of parity in this league, and Oregon, they were reloading after being in the Final Four a couple seasons ago. They did give themselves a few chances out of conference. Nothing earth-shattering, but they will be part of the 2K Classic at Madison Square Garden that includes Iowa and neither Syracuse or UConn on the other side. They also have some games at Houston, at Baylor, and I suppose at Boise that may tell us a little bit about the Ducks team, but by the same token, I think it was Boise State that also beat the Ducks at the buzzer last year in Eugene, so a little bit of revenge could be on the table for that one.
Well, David, what do you think? That are you on the Oregon to win the Pac-12 bandwagon as well, or are you going somewhere else?
I like Oregon a lot. There's actually another team that I kind of like a lot, and it's the same team, Rocco. I don't know if he likes them, but he does root for them. I'm big on this Washington team with all that they have coming back and with all that they had last year. And, I mean, the absence of Lorenzo Romar is just paying dividends, and the more time that goes by that he's not there, the better this program is becoming. And I just think that it wouldn't shock me if they finished at or near, either near the top or all the way at the top. I think I'm going with Washington, and I know that the Pac-12 is not as strong as we're used to seeing it. You know, as you said last year, no one getting past the round of 64, but it's going to be fun watching Oregon and Washington, those two teams. I mean, such palsies, those two teams. They just love each other, going at it all year long. I'm actually kind of looking forward to the Pac-12 this year, as weird as that sounds.
Oh, Rocco, he mentioned your school there, Washington. You do have Noel and Dickerson back. Most of the team back from last year was not a tournament team, but I assume that you're with Washington and you're not following Lorenzo Romar to Pepperdine this year. So what about your team?
I will be supporting Pepperdine just because I love Romar as a person. I hope he does well there. But, yeah, David's right. I think the move to Mike Hopkins was definitely needed in the program. He blew everybody's expectations, I think, last year. I know he did a great job. First of all, two summers ago, getting guys like Noah Dickerson and Matisse Thybul and David Crisp and Dom Green, a lot of the core guys to not transfer. They were all looking at transferring and got all four of those guys to stay. He also got our best recruit, minus Michael Porter Jr., of course, going to Missouri. And that would be Jalen Noel to stay home in Seattle. And Noel, now coming into his sophomore year, I think he had a great first 3 months of last season, hit a little bit of a wall in February and showed some fatigue and didn't shoot very well the last 2 months of the year. I think he's worked out really hard over the offseason to get ready for this year. I think there's and Chad, actually, there's nobody missing from last year. Everybody's back that played any kind of minutes. And then you add Jamal Bay, who's the Nevada State Player of the Year. I will be interested to see how many minutes he gets. You've got Jay-Z's nephew, Naz Carter, who's going to be a sophomore now. He's got a lot more experience. Hamir Wright's another quality sophomore off the bench from New York. Played 25 minutes against Nevada in the scrimmage. So there's a lot to like about the team. Now it's just a matter of, can we get all these guys that are used to not making the tournament into a confident tournament and you know, upper echelon team? That remains to be seen.
Well, what I really thought the big difference was last year was the defense, though, for Washington. I mean, I don't know how much Romar coached defense, but it didn't really show on the court. On the other hand, no. Mike Hopkins is a defensive-oriented guy, I think.
And yes. Yeah, the number one defense in the Pac-12 last year in terms of field goal percentage allowed was the Huskies in Pac-12 play. So I think there's a lot to build on. I think a guy like Matisse Thybul, who led the league in steals, is just so perfect for the 2-3 zone. And now he's coming into that senior year. He's a silky smooth player. He's a great complement to Noel. And then you get Noah Dickerson down low. I mean, this could be a really great season if everybody can stay healthy and continue to build on what happened last year.
Well, Tytel, I was kind of going another way besides Oregon and Washington. I think there's a third team that could challenge here for the Pac-12 title. I know the rest of you may not agree with me, but what about the UCLA Bruins? Despite the fact that Steve Alford has had mixed results, to say the best, in his time there, we've got pretty much, you know, we've got some big pieces back with Wilkes and Hands and Prince Ali in the backcourt. You've got Moses Brown, the heralded recruit coming in, as well as Cody Riley, who's got a little redemption that he's got to earn from last year in the third quarter.
I think you've covered all the talent. I mean, when you have guys like Wilkes and Hands and Brown, who are all past McDonald's All-Americans, you can see that he's a great recruiter. Obviously, when you're going in and only making the first four and then losing to the Bonnies, I think there's some questions about the on-court coaching and the preparation and the execution of the plan and stuff. But on paper, the talent is great. They have lost a couple guys from last year, like Aaron Holiday, who was like the senior veteran point guard leader. So I think that – I don't know if they're going to fill that overnight, but I agree, like, in terms of the perimeter and down low with Brown, if he's as good as advertised, on paper this team can contend with anybody for the title.
Well, Steve Alford has been taking a bit of a bath in the press, and I'm not going to anoint him as a fantastic coach, but the year before last, they were really good. It seems like more often than not, he had UCLA finish higher than what their preseason expectations were. And you may recall there was a bit of a distraction at the beginning of the season that may have made things a little bit more difficult.
Yeah, that was my comment about Cody Riley. He took a red shirt last year. He was one of the three players that was arrested out of China. Everyone only remembers whatever his first name is, one of the Ball kids, whoever he was.
But
LeAngelo Ball, yeah. But and he's long gone from the team, of course. But yeah, a little bit of an incident over in China last year. Slika, oh, sorry, David, you had another comment about it?
I just wanted to say that, like, the one good thing that came out of that was Bill Walton issuing the most epic apology in human history.
He apologized on behalf of the human race, didn't he?
Yes, it was awesome.
Salika, beyond these three teams we discussed, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, who would be the best team that we haven't discussed yet in the Pac-12 for this coming season, in your opinion?
I think one of the best teams is actually going to be the team that got a snub during the NCAA tournament last year, and that's USC. They're not going to have Chimezie Metu returning. They'll still have Benny Boatwright, Derek Thornton, Nick Rakosevich. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. They're also going to be part of the, I think it's a CBE Hall of Fame Classic in Kansas City, where they'll play a reloading Texas Tech team in either Missouri State or Nebraska in the second half of that one. They're also going to have some challenges coming up in December when they host Nevada. They also play TCU at the Staples Center and also go to, not to Oklahoma's home court, but they're going to be playing them in the state of Oklahoma, and also a game at Santa Clara where they should at least get some practice trying to win on the road before going into Pac-12 play.
Yeah, well, Rocco, interesting point about this USC team. He mentioned Charles O'Banion Jr. on the team. They got a big recruit there in Porter as well. Do you like this USC team this year? I thought they were probably the most snubbed team last year. I know people, David makes a comment about Nebraska, but
I agree, Chad. And this year I'm fairly high on them. Last year I think they were the highest Power 5 team to ever be left out, according to the RPI ranking.
RPI of 34.
Yeah, I think they're the highest ever to ever get left out for a Power 5 team or Power 6. Of course, for anybody coming back, revenge is going to be on their mind for guys like Benny Boatwright and Jonah Matthews, who will be looked at to lead this team along with Derek Thornton. I'm incredibly high on Kevin Porter. He's a Seattle guy, and his stock over the last 24 months has incredibly skyrocketed. If anybody was following the McDonald's All-America practices, last year, leading up to the game, he was unstoppable in those practices. It looks like pretty much a one and done if he continues on that trajectory. I'm penciling him in for National Freshman of the Year. If that all comes together and Boatwright can stay healthy all year, I think he's been injured both the last 2 years. That will be a big key. But right now, I see them as a solid tournament team, probably around the 8 line. But we'll have to see how that they stay together. They also need to pick it up a little bit on the defensive end. Andy Enfield is not known as a defensive guru.
No.
Tytel, how about your school here? How about the Arizona Wildcats? Is there a chance to get back to the big dance with all 5 starters gone from last year's team?
Chance, yes. I'm really not holding my breath. I mean, we're having to depend on a lot of transfers like Justin Coleman and Ryan Luther. I've heard good things from people who know about these things, but I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, when you're going from Samford to Arizona, I'd like to think there's a bit of a learning curve, but maybe I'm wrong. And we all saw how Pitt did last year, right? I mean, they got some nice pieces, and if we can put all the off-court stuff behind us, then there's a chance that they can focus on the on-court, and schedule looks pretty tough. I think, Salika, correct me if I'm wrong, Iowa State, Gonzaga, UConn, Alabama, Baylor?
Those are just a couple examples. That includes the Maui Invitational, where, again, they're on the side of the bracket with Gonzaga and Iowa State. but I would also be looking at the UConn and Alabama games in December just prior to Pac-12 play.
I would just like to point out that I believe Samford finished seventh in the SoCon. I think that's where it was. And Pittsburgh won the Stallings Award last year.
Well, Brandon Williams, though, Tytel, the fact that Showman was able to keep him, he was almost bolted too with all the stuff that happened there. That might be a big piece for you.
If so is Javon Quinterly. He's not coming through the door, though.
David, I know one of your favorite coaches is also in the state of Arizona over at Arizona State. How about the Sun Devils and Bobby Hurley there?
Yeah, I mean, the thing I like about Bobby Hurley is just his calm, composed demeanor on the sidelines. I mean, Cool Hand Luke never wears his emotions on his sleeve. You can't really tell if he's ecstatic, angry, happy, sad. He's just so content. He had a great moment last year where he got kicked out of the game. I don't remember what the specifics was, but it was phenomenal.
Well, that's about every year he gets kicked out several times.
I just ruined that whole thing. He did something spectacular. I wish I could remember what it was so I could share it.
Thinking of Selection Sunday when he and his entire team were running from their living room and jumping into the pool when they figured out they were going to be part of the NCAA field.
Yeah, because, who doesn't get excited about going to Dayton, Ohio? It's a fantastic place. But Arizona State last year had one of the greatest Novembers and Decembers ever, winning at Kansas, beating Xavier, both of those teams, Kansas a Final Four team, Xavier a one seed. I want to say Kansas was also a one seed. Just an incredible profile to win that two games like that away from home. And they had one of the most epic meltdowns ever where I think they lost 9 of their last 12 and then barely got into the tournament and did not even get to the round of 64. It was one of the more bizarre seasons ever. I mean, I like to poke fun at Creighton for all of the years they've had like that, but this one was more Creighton than Creighton. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, they ended up finishing 8-10 in the Pac-12, but to get in is 8-10, and when there's only three bids in the conference, is actually kind of impressive.
Yeah.
It shows how much they did do non-conference. But Rocco, what about the team on the court this year? Bringing in Rob Edwards from Cleveland State, where he was a big time scorer, for example, can this team actually get into the tournament more solidly this year?
I'm actually fairly high on them. Sorry, Tytel. I like just the makeup of the roster a lot better than last year. Last year they rolled out four guards almost the entire year. They lost three of those guards. That was Holder, Evans, and Justice. And now they bring in a transfer like Cheatham, who I know pretty well from playing at San Diego State. He's an all Mountain West defense guy, and that's exactly what this team was missing last year. They also have Daquan Lake back, who is a leading shot block, or he averaged over a block a game, so that's fairly decent for this conference. And then you bring in a guy like Lugentz Dort, who's a big-time recruit, but he's a really dynamic, interesting player because he's 6'5", but he's also, I think, like 240. So he's almost built like Charles Barkley, and they're going to a much more Bobby Hurley traditional style where they're going to be a lot more physical and tough. And then they still get the scoring from guys like Remy Martin, and Tayshaun Cherry will be an impact freshman if he can get healthy. He's a little banged up right now. But I think by the end of the year, this is actually going to turn into a pretty solid team. It maybe take a little bit of time to get them to come together, but I think it's almost the opposite of last year. So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out.
Tytel, do you have a next best team that we haven't discussed yet?
The next best team in the horrible Pac-12. Let's see here. I guess I'll go with Oregon State, only because I love
that one about three games last year. Go ahead.
They're atrocious, I know, but like they have veteran leadership in Thompson and Tinkle, and they have coaches named Thompson and Tinkle, and like they have a nice bond there. And they're not the best team in their own state, but I think Colorado lost a ton. I think Cal is still in the basement. Stanford has a history of being decent, but you can't replace Reed Travis. I'll go with the Beavers.
Jesus.
He might have a point. There's kind of a cliff after you get past Arizona State here.
Well, David, what about the Colorado Buffaloes? You do have – it's still a very young team, but they do have three sophomore starters returning. McKinley Wright is a pretty darn good at the point, which is kind of important if you want to win games, especially in a conference that has some problems at the point guard position like UCLA does. What do you think about them?
Well, you're picking on me. Every year I say I like Colorado and that I think they're going to be better than what their prognostication is, and most of the time they let me down. I like Colorado again this year, and I'll like Richmond when we talk about the A-10 too, probably. But I like them every year, and I don't know what it is I see in them every year that makes me think they're going to be better than what they ultimately end up being. But, yeah, I like Colorado. I do think that they could sneak inside the bubble, just as I did last year and the year before.
Well, Rocco, do you agree with him that Colorado might actually have a shot here? Because I kind of think that they're not that far out of the field, in my opinion, too. But
I've got them on the board just to keep track of – you know, they're not in my like first eight out or anything, but they're on the board and they're obviously going to be tough to beat in the, you know, at home. They're always going to be tough to beat at home, but they've got to prove to me that they can win away from home. Last year, they were 1-10 on the road. They're not going to get a bid doing that ever. They're going to need to get about four or five more road wins or neutral court wins at least. McKinley Wright's a special talent. He could be player of the year. If they can get into the top five or six in the league, I think he'll probably win player of the year because he'll have the numbers to back it up. And he's only getting better. He was just a freshman last year. And, you know, the win over Arizona, he shot lights out and took that game over. He's got the confidence to take the big shot in those types of games. They did get some really bad news over the weekend. They lost 7-footer Dallas Walton. Dallas had a couple nice games against the Huskies last year. He scored 13 in the first one and had like five blocks. So I think that's going to be a big hole in the paint. So I don't see them as a tournament team, unfortunately.
Chad, Dallas, do you think they win the front range? Do they win the front range?
Yeah, he's gone for the year. Yeah.
They might win the front range, David. But Sleeka, let me bring you in here on another team. What about the Utes? They were in the NIT championship game last year.
Well, they were in the championship game, but ended up losing to Penn State in the process. Utah and Colorado have both typically been a difficult double for other teams as far as the Pac-12 goes. I believe USC was the only team that was actually able to sweep that end of that doubleheader, in a manner of speaking. But as far as Utah, we'll obviously be focusing on their matchup with BYU and Salt Lake come December, but they'll also be part of the Wooden Legacy where they'll have Hawaii as well as either Seton Hall or Grand Canyon on their half of the brackets. But other games we have to watch for the Utes because they did test themselves. They're going to the Barn to play Minnesota. They're also going to play Kentucky and will be hosting Nevada just prior to the beginning of Pac-12 play.
I think had there not been a significant transfer, we would have already discussed Stanford in this podcast. Reed Travis, though, probably would have been Pac-12 Player of the Year. Instead, he's gone. He's at Kentucky. What about the Cardinals? Is there anything left here for any signs of hope for this team?
The cupboard is mostly bare. Nice sophomore class in Dejon Davis and Casey Okpala. Beyond that, I don't think they're going to contend this year. If those guys stick around for two more years, I think that the Stanford 2020 class would be solid, but call me in 2 years because I don't think that there's any immediate answers heading out to Palo Alto.
No answers in Palo Alto. David, how about the other Bay Area team? How about getting Cal?
Not as bad as they were last year. Just normal bad, not really bad this year.
It's hard to be worse than 8-24. That is true.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think they could win as many as 11, 12, 13 this year.
And this is 2 years after, I think, Berkeley was the hardest court in the Pac-12 to win that propelled the Bears to a 4 seed and also propelled Quanzo Martin to Missouri.
Yeah.
Well, the good for Cal, it is a young roster still, mostly freshmen and sophomores. Rocco, one other team we haven't discussed, you being a Washington guy, what about your in-state rivals there, Washington State?
Interesting club. Robert Franks is a good player. He's actually got a decent chance to make it into the NBA. He put his name in the draft over the offseason and wisely took his name out, so he's back. And then they were able to steal away a pretty good JUCO transfer. He's a top 20 JUCO guy. He was supposed to go to Kent State, so you can see the type of talent Wazoo's going after. But they got him to leave Kent State and come to Wazoo. That's Ahmed Ali. He should be running, I think, the point guard position this year between him and Vyonte Daniels. Carter Skeggs can also shoot. But the majority of the guys on the team are a bunch of three-point bombers, so they may surprise somebody this year if they just get incredibly hot. But beyond that, they don't have much of a front court, and they aren't going to play a lot of defense. So it's going to be another long year, I believe.
Yeah, a couple things about
them. Last.
Yeah, was it last year? Was it the Wooden that they won? They won an exempt tournament. Yeah, it beat some pretty good teams, and you're starting to think, wow, Wazoo.
They were ranked.
They were ranked after that week.
That's right.
Yeah.
They beat St. Mary's and I believe San Diego State that tournament.
Yeah, they did. Okay, so they beat two pretty good teams. Now Wazoo is being back to – the FBI is considering as punishment sending all guilty coaches to Wazoo.
Ernie Kent definitely on the hot seat there, Washington State as well this year. But let's run through here. The question that we've asked in all these podcasts is, who do you think the player of the year is? And I think actually, sticking on the Wazoo thing here, Robert Franks may put up such numbers for this team that may not have much else that he may actually be in contention for it. Not necessarily he's going to win it, but I think it's an interesting name to keep an eye on. But Rocco, who do you think the player of the year is in the Pac-12?
Well, based on what I said earlier about McKinley Wright, I'd love to pick him. I really don't think Colorado gets into that top five or six, so I'm going to go with Peyton Pritchard. I think Peyton Pritchard is the reason why many people are picking Oregon to win the league. I'm picking a co-championship for the record between both Oregon and Washington just to cover my bases. But Peyton Pritchard is a perfect guy to lead a team with a combination of youngsters and key returners. Because he's got such a great assist-to-turnover ratio, definitely the number one returning assist-to-turnover ratio guy in the Pac-12. And he shoots 41% from three, so he's going to do an excellent job passing the ball and shooting when the shot is there. And I think, you know, he won't be the leading scorer in the league by any means, but he's going to be the best all-around player for his team.
Tytel, you agree with him?
No. My pick for – Conference Player of the Year is sticking with the Beavers. I'm going to go with Trey Tinkle. He's got his dad as his coach, so I don't think there's going to be an issue about getting enough shots up. He was injured last year. He played 32 games. The year before, only six from a pretty bad injury that kept him out the rest of the season. So I think that he will be hitting his stride now. And I think that there's a lack of other people around him that I agree. I understand the team could have a losing record, both in conference and overall. But I think he's going to put up some big numbers. I think he's a very hard matchup as 6'8", 220. You put a short guy and hope he doesn't make threes. You put a big guy and have him go around. I think he's going to be a problem for a lot of people in this conference.
David, you agree?
I like McKinley Wright at Colorado. I shouldn't, but I do. And I think Colorado will probably be in on the first ballot, surprising some people. I shouldn't, but I do. I'm going all in on Ted again.
Stalika, real quick, do you have a pick for player of the year?
Well, this assumes he stays healthy, but I think Benny Boatwright has a chance to make a player of the year run out of USC, and especially if the Trojans end up making the field, which I do think they'll end up doing, that we'll get into shortly.
Well, let me stick with you, Stalika, and ask the next question is, who do you feel is going to be the regular season champion in the Pac-12? And just for Rocco's sake, I'm going to make this question be, who do you think the number one seed in the Pac-12 tournament is going to be to make you make a selection? And on top of that, how many bids?
Go ahead, John.
You can probably flip a coin between Oregon and Washington as to who gets the one seed here. But I think we'll also end up with four teams getting into the tournament this year, with some of the leagues like the Big East and possibly the Big 12 taking a bit of a step back this year. I think it'll be both Oregon and Washington getting in, along with UCLA and USC getting those other spots.
Rocco?
I'll give you two answers to your question. So number one seed in the Pac-12 tournament, I will pick the Huskies due to the fact that they only play the LA schools once and they only play the Arizona schools once, and Oregon has to play the Arizona schools twice. So conference schedules are in balance. That gives the Huskies a little bit of an edge. But the other part to that answer is I have Oregon higher on the overall seed list for the tournament. So there you go. As far as bids go, I got Oregon and Washington. I've got USC, as I said. I've got Arizona State. And right now I just have UCLA barely making it to Dayton, but I may end up putting them in the NIT if some future conference breakdowns lead them out.
Well, you and I are definitely disagreeing because I'm picking UCLA. Yeah, I'm picking UCLA to win this entire conference regular season title this year. It's a gut pick here more than anything because I know they've got point guard problems. But I got UCLA. I got five teams total. Tytel, what about you?
I think that's not a terrible pick, Chad. When you have three McDonald's All-Americans on your roster, you're supposed to be a good team. So hold your head high on that one. I will set the over-under at 4. I think I'll go with 4. I got to tell you, I think the interesting test case is going to be, what if Arizona is like 19-13 this year? I understand if they go like a losing record, they're out of it. But I'd be very interested to see if the committee wants them in because of the name on the front of the jersey. I hope we win more than 19, but I'm not holding my breath. So I'll go with 4 and not the Wildcats.
Not the Wildcats, David.
I'm going to go with 5. I think that the league is – I think everybody already assumes it's going to be weak this year because it was weaker than what we were used to seeing last year. I think there is a bit of bounce back. I think I'm picking Washington to win it. I also think Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Colorado get in.
Okay. On that note, let's move through any final thoughts on the Pac-12 conference. And, Tytel, let me swing back to you.
So in this era of players who want to go to the pros and we're making exceptions with the G League to give them 6 figures and we want to have everybody be draft eligible, a refreshing breath of fresh air comes from the Bay Area with Justice Suing, their sophomore small forward. His dad, also named Justice, played pro basketball overseas. You think, oh, like this kid wants to be like his dad. He wants to play pro basketball. He wants to become, wait for it, an orthopedic surgeon. And I hope that he gets his good Cal education and makes his dream come true.
All right, Salika.
For a conference that prides itself as the Conference of Champions, it's hard to believe that it's been 21 years since the Pac-12, or Pac-10 as it was back then, has produced a national champion. And that would have been the Arizona Wildcats back in 1997. In fact, I don't think they've even had a team in the national title game since UCLA back in 2006.
Thanks, John.
I believe UCLA was the last one. Rocco.
Yeah, so it's another preseason where nobody can really decide or agree upon who the top 3 or 5 teams are or actually agree on the same order. So what does that usually mean? Advantage Utah. Nobody runs more complex sets than Coach K's teams. Nobody has a bigger front line than Coach K's teams. And this is the Larry K, of course. And I think every time we overlook Utah, they seem to overperform. So don't be surprised if for the 5th straight year, Utah finishes in the top 4 in this league.
And our colleague Lee Del Vecchio is going to be all over that. He's always big on Utah, David, as a team.
Yeah, David, it's a matchup nightmare.
I'm kind of repeating what should have been my final thought earlier. I do think that this league is going to bounce back, and while it won't be putting 7 and 8 teams in like maybe the ACC or the SEC, who we're about to talk to, or if we've talked about already, depending on where everything is on the page, I don't know. It might be up there or down there, but I do think that they're going to put 4 or 5 in. And that the teams that do get in are going to be better positioned than what they were a year ago. And again, I still think that that was more of an anomaly than anything else, and that there's more teams that have improved in this league than not, and it's going to be stronger than what it was last year. And how much fun is it going to be watching Washington and Oregon do about it? That's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, it's going to be very tough for this league to be worse than it was last year. And I'd be impressed if it's worse than it was last year, because at that point, they're going to be down on our Under the Radar podcast. Right. I do want to thank everybody for joining us. This has been our Pac-12 preview.
We moved the Mountain West down.
Yes, on behalf of Tytel and Griggs down there, we got Stalika and Rocco Miller joining us up top here. I do want to thank you for joining us. My name is Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again with more preseason podcasts real soon.
Know your name, Chad. You said it there at the beginning. You don't need to.
Goodbye, David.